This podcast is supported by FedEx.
FedEx offers picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday.
See the FedEx service guide for delivery information.
FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See what FedEx can do for your business.
Absolutely, positively, FedEx. Sponsorship for this show comes from SoFi Invest. Alternative investments are now available on SoFi. Unlock the potential to build and protect your wealth with alts, including real estate, venture capital, pre-IPO unicorns, and more at SoFi.com/tboy.
Alternative investment funds have unique risks, including the risk of loss, may charge high fees, can be illiquid, and aren't suitable for all investors. Investors should carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, expenses, and important information contained in a fund's prospectus prior to investing. SoFi Securities LLC, member FINRA, SIPC.
Canva.
Yeah, it is. In sports, as in business, if you look good, you feel good, and you'll play good.
That's why we love Canva. It's simply the best online graphic design software we've ever used.
Neither one of us are designers, and yet both of us have created beautiful designs for our business using Canva.
We designed our merch on Canva.
We designed our social posts on Canva.
We designed the signs for our T-Boy Live show on Canva.
True story. Oh, and Canva isn't just for startups or entrepreneurs either, because 90% of Fortune 500 companies now use Canva.
But it definitely is for startups like us, the T-Boy Podcast Media Company.
Our creative director literally said, she cannot live without Canva.
And we believe her. It'll make your business look good, which will make you feel good, and you'll perform better.
So Yeti, start designing today at canva.com. Canva, designed for work.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And this is Snacks Daily. It is Friday, April 24th.
I got a feeling this is the best one yet.
Yes.
But Nick, have you ever had a product that is too good at what it does?
It's so aggressive. This one actually almost broke Snacks Daily today.
My Japanese-made thermos, the Zojiroshi thing I got here, is so good. My tea just annihilated my whole mouth. It was like 100. I think it heated the tea.
It melted his tongues. What are you doing this weekend, by the way?
Nothing.
Doesn't matter. Same thing as last week. So what's our first story?
Maryland does crab cakes.
Raytheon does nuclear tip stealth cruise missiles.
A freaky contract for nuclear bazookas from the United States Air Force is a window into the defense industry.
And it's a perfect moment for us to talk about the big D. Jack, what do we got?
We're not talking defense. We're talking debt. Government debt.
Second story for the T-Boy.
Odds are a Unilever product is on or in your body right now.
Check the armpits. It's probably there. It's under there. It's hidden. It's somewhere in there.
The international conglomerate known as Unilever makes everything from deodorant to mayonnaise, and it's a snapshot for the world's consumer habits.
It's also a mirror, a reflection, a window, and an embodiment. We couldn't figure out what to go with on this one.
They also made the tea that just destroyed my face.
Its earnings report showed some hilarious changes that are going on with everything you're consuming right now.
For our third and final story, we began this week talking about how Gilead Pharmaceuticals popped markets with hope for a new COVID-19 drug.
That hope just got stomped away like Vader on Luke.
And now we got another day, another Remdesivir study that reads like a movie screenplay.
Episode 4, A New Hope, if you know, you know.
Before we get to that, Snacks Madness, the
yes.
Brackets are complete. They're snipping down the basketball net. We have a champion.
The March Madness-style tournament of profit puppies is over.
It was also the first one, so it's sad that it's over.
The greatest profit puppy, the winner of Snacks Madness?
I feel like we should build this up.
Da-da-da-da!
It's Tesla's Model 3, which beat Costco's annual membership.
It was Elon versus a giant 6-gallon tub of vanilla extract.
This thing was so intense, we had to stretch it out till honestly, almost May.
Now, shocker, we've got some fans of Tesla on this podcast, so we're not surprised they won the Twitter poll that decided the champion.
Model 3 was a refreshingly ambitious project. A cool electric car that pretty much anyone could buy.
$35,000. It was the most unaffordable thing labeled affordable that we've ever seen.
They need to come out with a Model 3.2 when we can actually buy this.
Now, a bonus for Nick and me was we loved interacting with you on social media. Nick's a Twitter beast. I was deep in Instagram DMs. We're actually the ones responding to you when you hit us up at Robinhood Snacks.
You can follow us at T-Boy Jack and at Nick of New York. People see us tweeting from those handles. They still don't know which one of us is which.
Speaking of connecting on social media, one of today's stories, the one about Raytheon, the defense company, that was a suggestion we received in an Instagram direct message from Ryan Perrin, from Miami, Florida.
Snackers, hit us up on social. We love when you share your snacks with us.
And we love when you share your snacks with your buddies.
Let's hit our three stories.
You're tuned in to Snacks Daily. We spoke to the lawyers and we gotta get something legal out the way. The snacks you're about to hear ain't food, it's ear candy. They don't reflect the views of the Robin Hood family. It's all informational, just so you know. We're not recommending any securities.
Nope.
It's not a research report or investment advice. Not an offer or sale of a security.
Right.
Snacks is digestible. Business news for you. Robin Hood Financial, LLC. Member FINRA/SIPC.
For our first story, Raytheon just got an Air Force contract for a new stealthy nuclear-tipped cruise missile. This thing is this coming large? What does this even look like?
It's huge. We are talking about the defense industry and how different ones are faring differently in the corona economy.
Now, this isn't like the cruise missiles you grew up with. You saw they look like a submarine with some kind of a fishtail.
No. I went into a deep YouTube binge, Nick.
Snackers, Jack jumped in snack style. He went down to DC, he got a pass, he got a code, he was able to board a ship.
These nuclear-tipped cruise missiles, they sit in the belly of a B-52 bomber, which is gigantic. Then the thing opens up its belly, the missile drops out, and then it like starts flying itself like a mini airplane faster than the plane it just fell out of.
It's an insane birthing process. Sounds like Christopher Nolan designed this thing. Machine within a machine within a machine.
And Raytheon just got like the multi-million, probably multi-billion dollar deal to make the next generation.
In the meantime, while Jack was down in DC for 15 minutes, we got Raytheon to spit in a tube, send it off to Ancestry.com. Turns out Raytheon's mom is G.I. Jane and its dad is a flight attendant.
Raytheon is one of the three defense giants surviving in the post-Cold War America.
All right, you also got Lockheed Martin, Northrop Grumman, and that's the big three. It's like Bobby Orr, Brian Leach, and Ray Bourque.
Now, it's got a military business, which is actually doing okay during this crisis.
Not too shabby. That includes the, your casual stealth nuclear-tipped cruise missile deals.
It also has a civilian business, which is like commercial airplanes. It makes engines, seats, life rafts, de-icing things, and the air vents that are in like the 737 you're flying on.
You can see where we're going with this. Typically, Boeing would order those for the planes that we'd all be flying on, but none of those are happening right now.
No, and despite the nuclear bazooka deal that it just announced from the U.S. Air Force, Raytheon stock is down 60% since February because of that weakness in the commercial airplane business.
Boom, C3, we just sunk the battleship for these guys.
Now, the other defense company we're comparing this to is Lockheed Martin, which is born and raised on a military base, went to West Point for college, and its favorite color is camouflage.
Turns out F-35s and missile defense is its bread, butter, and meat and potatoes.
Nick, the headquarters of Lockheed Martin is a bow and arrow shot away from the Pentagon. It is on call in case Donald Rumsfeld gives him a call.
The execs over at Lockheed are like still texting Rumsfeld and Condi. You're like, hey, can you buy something? You want to buy something? What can we put you in today?
The CEO of Lockheed Martin bucked a trend this week by confirming the company's 2020 revenue goals.
Let us repeat that. They confirmed that they have revenue goals this year and that they are unchanged.
Everyone else is completely canceling their 2020 plans because those plans were made before the global pandemic and everything has changed.
Lockheed, though, is resolute. They are refusing to take any excuse. They still think their profits for this year are unaffected, even though no one is doing anything.
The teacher basically announced to students, we have an exam coming up. It's going to be hard. That's why I'm letting you do it. Take home over the weekend. Open book, refer to your friends, check the internet, whatever you want. Just finish the test.
Lockheed's like, no, I'm in the classroom. I bought a TI-83. Get a few more proctors in here ASAP.
Lockheed Martin is really making it harder on themselves than they need to.
In the meantime, military spending, it's been unaffected so far. And the Lockheed Martin stock's only down 12% since the whole crisis started.
That's because pretty much all it does is military defense sales.
Also, we found this kind of fun and extremely intimidating fact. Care to share, Jack?
20% of Lockheed Martin's business is government classified.
Yes.
So workers aren't allowed to like zoom in from home when they're working on these projects. They can only like do it in their secure building.
Right. Because when you're zooming, China is probably zooming in with you. So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Raytheon?
Can we finally talk, Nick, about government debt during the corona economy?
I was like wondering what was going to take you so long to ask on this. Lockheed Martin, Raytheon, Northrop Grumman, they all depend on the U.S. Department of Defense.
And they depend on spending from foreign departments of defense Except from Russia, they make their own tanks. They don't buy from American arms companies.
In Russia, the tanks make you.
The federal government deficit, though, it already had ballooned under President Trump, doubling annually to about $1 trillion a year debt that we're adding to our debt pile.
And with the corona economy crisis going on right now, that's probably reached up to $3 trillion as the deficit in a single year.
When governments take on enormous amounts of debt, like we are right now and most of the other countries of the world, they might want to tighten their belts in the future by reducing defense spending, which would be bad for these three defense companies.
But it would probably be good for, you know, peace globally and stability.
Yes, it would.
For our second story, Unilever's earnings report, it's like a mirror into your life.
It is a window into your spending soul.
Also, Jack and I pulled this thing up. It is the most artistic earnings report we have ever seen.
I'm thinking about stealing the color palette for my future home whenever I actually own a home.
Whatever artist is whipping this thing up is probably the same guy who did the Harry Potter illustrations. They got the same whimsical vibe going on.
It's a European thing. You should check out this deck. We'll tweet it out, Snackers. Now, some companies give you a taste of an industry.
Think about Yum Brands. They own KFC, Taco Bell, and Pizza Hut. If you know Yum Brands, you know what's going on in fast food.
Other companies can give you a reflection of an entire economy.
Jack and I just love this stat. 90% of Americans live within 10 miles of a Walmart, which sells everything. So if you know what Walmart's doing, you kind of know what the American economy's doing.
Unilever, on the other hand, is bigger in scope. It is a mirror into the world of retail spending.
They've had to buy those little folders for passports. This company is dual headquartered in London and Rotterdam.
Rotterdam. What is Rotterdam?
It's just like an Amsterdam cousin. No one really knows what it is.
Sounds like an off-breed of Rottweiler, but I don't think it is.
It's like the Narnia of Holland.
Now, diversity you will find in Unilever sales. 70% are outside of North America and South America. They're all over the world.
And then don't forget about Unilever's size. They did $13.4 billion in sales last quarter, which is about 1.5 Lifts.
They also make like everything from Hellman's mayonnaise
aggressive.
To Dove body wash,
yep,
to Dollar Shave Club Shave Club, to Q-tips, and to the Lipton iced tea that just destroyed my tongue.
There are 5 senses on your body. Guaranteed 1 to 3 of them are touching something that was made by Unilever today.
So Unilever's earnings report was fascinating because they reveal how work from home, which is happening like globally, is shifting the world's buying and usage habits.
And then what we thought was extra fascinating was how they break down what's being hoarded right now and what's actually being used.
Let's start with shampoo. That's a whole division at Unilever. What they told us is that shampoo sales are up. People are hoarding it, but they're using it less.
Deodorant sales, same thing. It is being hoarded aggressively, but it's being used barely. In fact, they went into detail about how little it's being used.
Take personal care products, for instance, like shampoo and deodorant. We are buying a lot more of it because we're all like hoarding and filling up our pantry. But we're using personal products on average 11 times fewer per week, which is kind of gross.
Let that sink in. That means 3 fewer deodorant swipes, a couple less conditions, and let's be honest, Wednesdays are no shampoo Wednesdays.
Yeah, I mean, no one can smell you through Zoom.
In the meantime, there's another funny thing you should get to know about Unilever. It is the world's biggest ice cream biz.
It has a lift worth of sales every year in the brands like Magnum,
yep,
Breyers,
classic,
Klondike, Popsicle, and Vermont's favorite, Ben & Jerry's.
You can throw anything into a Ben & Jerry's. It's not going to be as good as just Ben & Jerry's.
An interesting insight about ice cream sales. About half of them occur at grocery stores, but the other half occur on site in like a scoop truck by Venice Beach.
And that's kind of a problem because right now you're getting none of that scoop truck by Venice Beach.
So there's a seesaw effect. Sales at grocery stores are up, but sales outside of grocery stores aren't happening, period.
So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Unilever in Rotterdam half the time?
There's a big pivot in retail for this crisis, and it is cutting out the middleman.
Move over Harry's and Casper. There's a middle-aged Dutch guy who wants to go direct to consumer over here.
Today, big old Unilever relies on retailers like Walmart to actually sell the products that it produces.
And the corona economy is showing Unilever that it can successfully cut out that middleman.
Nick and I found this one shocking. Apparently, 6% of Unilever sales occur online at like Unilever.com, whoever's buying shampoo at Unilever.com.
It's like Revlon.
But online sales for Unilever jumped by 36% last quarter.
That's direct sales to you from Unilever. They want you buying up Tresemme and Cup of Soup on their websites.
That's right. Unilever wants you buying from Unilever.com instead of Amazon.com. Snacks challenge update. We're a little over halfway done. So if you're running a loop, just keep running and you'll get home eventually.
It always works.
For our third and final story, Gilead got everyone excited to start the week.
But then a new report made everyone very sad.
Kind of feels like the classic throwback Entourage episodes on this one.
Vinny's doing the movie!
Ah, Vinny got hurt. He's not doing the movie.
Oh, wait,
Vinny's doing the movie!
On Friday last week, the University of Chicago Hospital was hopeful about this drug called Remdesivir.
Yeah, interesting name, very confusing. Sounds like it's made by Unilever, but it's actually produced by Gilead Pharmaceuticals and was really effective in treating like 125 COVID-19 patients.
Could this be the one? Could this be Keanu?
Is it red pill or blue pill? They're like, it's both pills, Keanu.
Investors wondered if this could be the one that helps us end this COVID-19 crisis.
Although Gilead and like a bunch of science experts were like, pump the brakes on this one, guys. Don't get too excited. We're in early stages on this thing.
And then Wall Street got too excited.
It got way too excited. Stocks actually surged after this.
The early report gave hope to investors that this could eventually fix our crisis and reopen the economy.
That was way too overly optimistic.
The news from yesterday, another more robust clinical trial for Remdesivir shows it's actually not that effective at curing COVID-19.
And just like we told you on Monday, this is also playing out just like a screenplay. It is a tale of two clinical drug trials.
The Chicago trial was a small data set. 125 patients isn't that many.
And on Thursday, somebody accidentally published an early report on a bigger and better study that was way more relevant than that first one.
Rewind to January, when the COVID-19 outbreak was like devastating China. Gilead recognized an opportunity to test Remdesivir and see if it was useful in treating it.
Unfortunately, when they did this early test in China, the drug showed no benefits, and that was on twice as many patients.
Summary, you had a small study in Chicago that showed good results, a bigger study in China that showed bad results.
Now, Gilead still says the China study showed like some potential benefits, so more studies are coming. And while we're waiting for those studies, Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Gilead?
The power of a control group. This is the old A-B test.
Snackers, when Jack burns his tongue, I could feed him some nice cool milk from that dangerous thermos that had burnt him. A couple days later, Jack's tongue miraculously gets better, and it was the thermos that cured the burn.
Nick, you are so thoughtful. The flaw, however, in that thinking, my tongue would have got better without the cool milk and without that dangerous thermos that I should probably throw away.
The best studies include a control group and a treatment group.
China study did this. Chicago study didn't.
They randomly gave the Chinese patients the drug or like a sugar capsule that looked like the drug.
So the treatment group got the real drug. They got Remdesivir, and the treatment group, 14% of them ended up dying.
And in the control group, which didn't get the real drug, fewer people died, in fact, only 13%.
That's the opposite of what you would hope that Remdesivir would do.
Pretty much means that we cannot reject the null hypothesis.
The drug wasn't effective in treating COVID-19.
Jack, can you rehab that tongue and whip up the takeaways for us over there?
Raytheon just won a stealth nuclear-tipped cruise missile deal.
Governments that would splurge on its stuff could be running some debt problems right now.
Our second story, Unilever's earnings reveal that we're buying more personal products, but we're actually using them less.
Even conglomerates are going direct to consumer since stores are closed.
Third and final story, Gilead had two studies so far about whether Remdesivir can effectively treat COVID-19 patients.
The smaller, worse study says it's effective. The bigger, Betty study says it's not.
Unfortunately.
Now time for our snack fact of the day. This one, it's simple. It's straightforward. You're going to love it. It's from Richard B. in Bristow, Oklahoma.
In Chicago, it's illegal to eat in a restaurant that's on fire.
In Marion, Ohio, it's illegal to eat a donut while walking backwards.
I always wondered if these things are really true. Are they April Fool's jokes that just never got erased?
It's the most creative thing legislators have ever done.
We also want to give a shout out to Marika,
yes,
who turns 30 on Sunday. Your husband, Graham, had a big birthday party planned for you this weekend.
It was going to be awesome.
That got canceled, obviously, so he's giving you a Snacks Daily shout out instead.
Graham, whatever you do, don't give her a thermos.
And please stay bark to your puppy, Remy.
She sounds adorable. Snackers, loved being with you this week. You looked fantastic, by the way. We should point that out.
Share your favorite bite from today's snacks on social or with buddies because it helps us grow.
It's how we grow. If you know, you know. HYHYSD.
We'll see you Monday.
The Robinhood Snacks podcast you just heard reflects the opinions of only the hosts who are associated persons of Robinhood Financial LLC and does not reflect the views of Robinhood Markets Inc. or any of its subsidiaries or affiliates. The podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to serve as a recommendation to buy or sell any security and is not an offer or sale of a security. The podcast is also not a research report and is not intended to serve as the basis of any investment decision. Robinhood Financial, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC.
If you like The Best One Yet, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
And before you go, tell us a little bit about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
We want to get to know you.
Nick and Jack here. Want to quickly tell you about the show Business Wars.
With the launch of ChatGPT, Sam Altman and OpenAI reinvigorated our imaginations and fears of a world with artificial intelligence. While the company looked like a stunning success from the outside, a battle was brewing within. Almost a year after launching ChatGPT, that battle erupted into a war when the company fired its charismatic CEO, Sam Altman.
From Wondery, Business Wars is a podcast about the biggest corporate rivalries of all time. And in the newest season, host David Brown digs into the philosophical differences within OpenAI that culminated in Sam Altman's shocking firing and what it means for the future and safety of AI in the modern world.
Follow Business Wars on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. And for more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more, Wondery means business.